Tonight we are going to look at the book of Psalms. And what's going on here? Again, we're in the poetry section of the Bible. And the dates for writing Psalms is about 1410 to 450 BC. Now, this encompasses many authors that were inspired to add their Psalms in this book. Psalms, according to man, covers 150 chapters. And the key thought in the book of Psalms is worship. Worshiping Jehovah. The book is divided into five sections, each of which is written by a variety of authors. The book covers a wide range of praise, confession, and adoration to God. We can relate personally with God through these Psalms, and we should. We see that Jesus is in this book. Not only do the psalmists talk about the Messiah, but Jesus is our song in the morning and in the night. The book of Psalms is about God. The abundance of references to God in the Psalms underscores the place of God in our singing. We come together to recount his mighty acts, to call upon him in times of need, and to praise his name. God is our focus. And the book of Psalms does give God the praise, does give God the glory and honor, and only God deserves. The book of Psalms is part hymn book, part prayer book, part wisdom literature, and part anthology of poems concerning Israel and God. Its subject matter is astonishingly broad. There are various writers inspired by God penned the Psalms. They are David, Asaph, Moses, Herman, Ethan, and possibly other unknowns. So there was a lot of people that contribute to the Psalms via the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. In Psalms, there are a number of major categories that each Psalm fits into. We see Psalms concerning wisdom. Wisdom that God gives to you and I. We see Psalms that contain nature. We see Psalms that have the words of God. We see worshiping Psalms. Worshiping Jehovah. We see Psalms of suffering, Psalms of assurance, and Psalms of praise. All these categories fit into the book of Psalms. And there's so many Psalms, it will take us almost a year and a half to study the book of Psalms. If we were going to dig into each and every psalm. But since this is an overview, we're just going to cover some basics so that we get an idea what the psalmist was trying to do to inspire not only the children of Israel, but also us today as we praise and honor God. God deserves praise. There's no ifs, ands, or buts about that. God protects and rescues the righteous when they are in need. We read many stories in the Bible, and we could recount many times that God came to the aid of the righteous. And if you were to review your life, you could see how God integrates his plan into your life as you dwell upon this earth. God will bless the obedient and judge the disobedient. That stands to reason. God will judge each and every one of us, our good deeds and bad deeds. God's revelation should be the foundation of worship, for worship. When we look at the Psalms, we can see how the individual writers poured out their hearts with one purpose, and that is to worship God. And we should take that into account when we want to worship God. Read the Psalms. It will assist us in our way we should worship God. Also, genuine worship entails a broad range of emotions that stem from experiences of life. We each have unique lives. We are blessed tremendously from God, and he deserves our praise and honor and worship. And as you read the book of Psalms, you could see how individuals before us recognize God as the only being that should be worshipped. We have seen in the past how the children of Israel strayed away from that, where they started worshiping idols. They started worshiping gods of foreign nations. But when you read Psalms, you see that God should be first in all things. It's a pretty fascinating book when you consider the number of Psalms there are concerning God. The book of Psalms is broken down into five different books. And we're going to be looking, talking a little bit about this now. In book one, which covers Psalms 1 through 41, is mostly written by David. And his focuses on God's ability to deliver those who fear him. We see David poured out his heart to God, begged for protection, and asked for help against his enemies. Something that we do when we approach God through Jesus. We ask him, we communicate to God to help us in our times of need, in our times of tribulation, in our times of suffering. And when you read the number of Psalms that David had written, you could see the genuine love he had towards God. And we should emulate that in our lives. And this book, book one, has the feel of a one-on-one interaction with God. In book one, we see the Lord beside us during times of trouble. And that is so, we are so blessed as his children that we can approach him and talk to him, communicate to him through prayer, through meditation, through reading the Psalms and applying those things to our lives. Book two covers Psalms 42 through 72. It focuses on God as the mighty judge and king. He is the executor of justice on all nations and the rescuer of those who delight in him. In book two, we see the Lord going before us to execute justice on his enemies. And also, we will stand before the Lord too. And we will be judged for our good deeds and bad deeds. And we should focus on God as the mighty judge and king. Book three covers Psalms 73 to 89. It's mostly written by the sons of Asaph, a family devoted to leading the people in worship to God in his temple. This book focuses on God's relationship with the whole nation of Israel, not just the psalmist. It emphasizes God's faithfulness, a faithfulness that expands generations. That is awesome. God is constant. And what he says will happen. In book three, we see the Lord around us remaining faithful to his people through the generations and also to us today. As long as we follow his laws and obey him. Book four covers Psalms 90 through 106. Directs our eyes to the Lord who rules over all the earth. Several of these Psalms begin with simply, "The Lord reigns," or "Praise the Lord." This part of the Psalms show the Lord above us, the kind and righteous God who deserves our worship and praise. In today's society, people put off religions. They put off worshiping God. Even Christians today who claim to be Christians, but how does their worship stack up to the Word of God? We as their brothers and sisters should be able to encourage them, admonish them, and teach them. Because only God deserves our worship and praise. And our lifespan is short here on this earth. And we only have a speck of time to prove ourselves worthy for God's grace and mercy so that we can have eternal life. Book five, the last book of the Psalms, covers Psalms 107 through 150. And it calls us to thank him. He's the Savior, deliverer, and God of all. In book five, we see the Lord among us in his temple with his people. that is awesome when you break down the Psalms and we could see what's expected of us as God's children. And we could see how the people of the Old Testament, how they incorporated these Psalms into worshiping God and praising Him. The Book of Psalms is a collection of prayers, poems, and hymns that focuses the worshiper's thoughts on God in praise and adoration. So when you look at Psalms, you could see that the psalmist is directing your mind and heart and giving God the praise, adoration, and glory that only He deserves. Parts of this book were used as a hymnal in the worship service of ancient Israel. And the musical heritage of the Psalms is demonstrated by its title. It comes from a Greek word which means a song sung to the accompaniment of a musical instrument. So back in the Old Testament, they used instruments along with their singing to praise and honor God. God is the same Lord in all of the Psalms. We respond to Him in different ways, according to the specific circumstances of our lives. What a marvelous God we worship, the psalmist declares, high and lifted up beyond our human experiences, but also close enough to touch and who walks beside us along life's way. We can bring all our feelings to God, no matter how negative or complaining they may be. We can rest assured that we will hear and understand. He may not grant you what you are asking for, but our Father in heaven is listening and is concerned about His children. The psalmist teaches us that the most profound prayer of all is that the cry is a cry for help as we find ourselves overwhelmed by the problems of life. And when you look at the world that we live in, look at all the human atrocities that people are doing against each other, we need to recognize that God is in control and He deserves our praise and honor and adoration. The Book of Psalms expresses worship. Psalms encourages its readers to praise God for who He is and what He has done. The Psalms illuminate the greatness of our God, affirms His faithfulness to us in times of trouble, and reminds us of the absolute centrality of His Word. When you look at Psalms, we see that God is faithful to us. And He will be there when we are in trouble. And His word stands for all truth. As the Psalms present a clear picture of God lovingly guiding His people, the responses of praise and worship to God are never far from the psalmist's pens. And that is an encouragement to us when we read Psalms. We know that we may not be able to formulate the words or to communicate properly, but yet when we read Psalms, we can understand that God loves us and he wants each and every one of us to give him the praise and honor. The portrayal of worship in the Psalms offers us glimpses, a glimpse after glimpse of hearts devoted to God, individuals repentant before him, and lives changed through encounters with him. You look at David's life, and he was a sinner. He had sin on his account, but yet he turned away from those sins. And he still put God first. When we fall short in our lives, when we think that the world is beaten upon us, read the Psalms so that you can be encouraged and uplifted. You see that these individuals back in the Old Testament time, they relied on God. And that's the way we should do. We should be relying on God. God's provision of a Savior for his people is a recurring theme in the Psalms. Prophetic pictures of the Messiah are seen in numerous Psalms. In Psalms chapter 2, verses 1 through 12, it portrays the Messiah triumph and his kingdom. Psalms 2, those who plot against God's elect incite God's wrath. The Lord, not human beings, anointed Israel's kings and elected this nation for his plan of salvation. Man didn't put together this plan of salvation. God did. And God's in control. And we should realize in our lives that he and only he should be worshipped. In Psalm 16, verses 8 through 11, foreshadows his death and resurrection, the Messiah's death and resurrection. We see that the Psalm 16, the Psalm praises the Lord for numerous earthly blessings, but moves towards a climactic expression of hope for life in God's presence beyond the grave. That is something that we as Christians hope for, we long for, to be in God's presence. We want to shed this earthly shell and be with God. We also see that in Psalms 22, it shows us the suffering Savior on the cross and presents detailed prophecies of the crucifixion, all of which were fulfilled perfectly. And when you look at the book of Psalms, it was written way before Jesus dying on the cross. The psalmist initially feels that God has forsaken him while facing great opposition and is ignoring his prayers. After remembering God's faithfulness and deliverance, he believes that God will deliver him and commits himself to telling that message to others. That's an encouragement for you and I. God answers our prayers in his own way, in his own timeline. And he's faithful to provide deliverance for us. He provides salvation for us. He gave us his son, Jesus, to die on the cross as a means that each and every one of us will have the opportunity to be in heaven. Again, we see the glories of the Messiah and his bride are exhibited in Psalms chapter 45. The psalmist uses a royal wedding to portray our king, who is God, and the fulfillment of his kingdom in his son. That is so powerful for us. The bride of Christ, which is his church. A royal wedding. When you think of royalty, you think of England and the royal families. But we have something that's even better than that. We have our King, who is God, and the fulfillment of his kingdom in his Son. We should be honored and have and privileged that we're part of his kingdom. Again, we see in Psalm 72, 89, 110, and 132, they present the glory and universality of his reign. That's so awesome for us. This was written so many years before Jesus, but yet it paints a picture for you and I. In Psalm 72, possibly a coronation psalm for Solomon, pleading for God's help, the psalmist realizes that even the best of the Davidic kings fell short of the idea. They were human. They had flaws. And God knew this. But you still have to keep on doing your best for him. In Psalms 89, it speaks primarily of David, who enjoyed God's faithfulness and promises. Even when David sinned and felt the weight of God's law, he still relied completely upon God. How long, O Lord, verse 46 of Psalms 89, easily comes to the lips of all who, because of their sins, have suffered under the weight of God's law. And when we sin, it separates us from God spiritually. And we see what David did, but yet he still relied completely upon God. In Psalms 110, our royal psalm in which the Lord addresses the king, the world looks for the visible manifestation of God. David sees that manifestation prophetically in one of his future descendants. And that's Jesus. And again, in Psalms 132, one of David's sons, the anointed one, will be enthroned forever. He will clothe his people with righteousness and salvation. The psalm curses the enemies of God's anointed, and he will clothe them with shame. Again, referencing the Messiah, referencing Jesus. The book thanks God for allowing us to express our deepest emotions to him. In Psalms 1, the first psalm shows us the destiny of both the righteous and the wicked. The wicked will fall at the final judgment, find themselves alienated from God, and ultimately inheritors of eternal damnation. No one is expected from this more frightening fate. God has provided a way of righteousness. In Psalms 150, we see a tenfold hallelujah in the heavens and in the place of worship. With every musical instrument, everything that breathes should praise the Lord because of his mighty deeds and his excellent greatness. So when you look at the first psalm and the last psalm, God's going to take care of those who are righteous. And he expects the righteous to praise him and honor him. Can I get a volunteer to read Psalms chapter 1, verses 1 through 6, please?
How blessed is the man who does not walk in the counsel of the wicked, nor stand in the path of sinners, nor sit in the seat of scoffers, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law he meditates day and night. He will be like a tree firmly planted by the streams of water, which yields its fruit in its season, and its leaf does not wither, and in whatever he does he prospers. The wicked are not so, but they are like the chaff which the wind drives away. Therefore the wicked will not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the assemblies of the righteous. For the Lord knows the way of the righteous, but the way of the wicked will perish.
Thank you, Carol. So the first three verses deal with those who obey God, who delight in his law, who meditate on his law day and night. And he used an analogy of a tree that's planted by streams of water. It's going to yield fruit and prosper. Whereas the wicked are going to be like chaff. The wind's going to blow them away. And they will not stand in judgment, nor sinners in the assembly of the righteousness. They will perish. So the psalmist, and I believe it's David, paints a picture that's very powerful for us as Christians to realize we have to obey God. No matter what happens, we look at, again, those saints in the first century who put their lives on the line for their faith. You could ask yourself the question, what would you do? Would you stand up for God? Or would you deny him and continue to live? We don't have that in our lives today, but someday we might, and we have to make that choice. Can I get a volunteer to read the 150th song, please?
Praise the Lord. Praise God in his sanctuary. Praise him in his mighty expanse. Praise him for his mighty deeds. Praise him according to his excellent greatness. Praise him with trumpet sound. Praise him with harp and lyre. Praise him with timbal and dancing. Praise him with stringed instruments and pipe. Praise him with loud cymbals. Praise him with resounding cymbals. Let everything that has breath praise the Lord. Praise the Lord.
Thank you, Ann. So when you read the last psalm, it puts our minds into an area that we should be praising God for everything. Praise him for making this world. Praise him for even the very air we breathe. We should be praising God at all times. And it's astonishing to me how people forget about honoring God. People put the world and its everyday things in their lives before praising and worshiping God. If you're hurting, use Psalms 13 as a guide and write your own lament to God. Psalms 13, in moments of fear and frustration, our prayers can easily slip into blaming God for our problems. Ask, how long, O Lord, verse 1 of Psalms 13 is okay. And the psalm ends with confidence in the Lord. Okay, can I get a volunteer to read Psalms 13, verses 1 through 6, please?
How long, O Lord, will you forget me forever? Hide your face from me. How long shall I take counsel in my soul, having sorrow in my heart all the day? How long will my enemy be exalted over me? Consider and answer me. O Lord, my God, enlighten my eyes, or I will sleep the sleep of death. And my enemy will say, I have overcome him. And my adversaries will rejoice when I am shaken. But I have trusted in your loving kindness. My heart shall rejoice in your salvation. I will sing to the Lord because he has dealt bountifully with me.
Thanks, Eileen. So we see David here is concerned. How long am I going to suffer? How long are you going to forget me? But he realizes that he trusts in God because he's faithful. He trusts in his loving kindness. And he will rejoice in the salvation that Jehovah will provide. And that's the attitude that we as Christians should have when we approach God. When we meditate on the Psalms, when we read and study the wisdom from the Psalms and apply those things to our lives to worship God to the best of our ability. And if you rejoice in, meditate on Psalm 30 and echo the praise found there. In Psalms 30, David summarizes feelings and God's response in verse 5. Trusting in God's deliverance, David knows that the sorrow he feels will be replaced with joy as God comforts him. When David wrote this psalm, he knows he's going to trust in God because God's going to deliver him and he will replace the sorrow in his life with comfort. Can I get a volunteer to read the first 6 verses of Psalms 30 and a volunteer for verses 7 through 12, please?
I will extol you, O Lord, for you have lifted me up and have not let my enemies rejoice over me. O Lord, my God, I cried to you for help and you healed me. O Lord, you have brought up my soul from Sheol. You have kept me alive that I would not go down to the pit. Sing praise to the Lord, you his godly ones, and give thanks to his holy name. For his anger is but for a moment. His favor is for a lifetime. Weeping will last for the night, but a shout of joy comes in the morning. Now, as for me, I said in my prosperity, I will never be moved.
Thank you, Di.
O Lord, by your favor, you have made my mountain to stand strong. You hid your face, I was dismayed. To you, O Lord, I called, and to the Lord I made supplication. What profit is there in my blood if I go down to the pit? Will the dust praise you? Will it declare your faithfulness? Hear, O Lord, and be gracious to me. O Lord, be my helper. You have turned for me my mourning into dancing. You have loosed my sackcloth and girded me with gladness, that my soul may sing praise to you and not be silent. O Lord, my God, I will give thanks to you forever.
Thank you, Faye. Thank you, Di, for your reading. But you see, we should be praising God and singing him praise all the time. And this was the attitude that David felt in his heart and his mind to worshiping Jehovah. And it should be our attitude as Christians to sing praises to God and glorify him and him only. In the Psalms, we find Jesus Christ's own feelings and concern for the glory of God and for the blessing of souls, and suffering as a lowly man of sorrows, as persecuted by men, and suffering the anguish of the cross, the forsaking of God, and the joyous results of that cross, of anger against the wickedness of men, of man, to consider his feelings is a balm for the feelings of our own hearts. Jesus suffered and died as a payment of sin for humanity, for your sins and for mine. And he died a lowly death. He was persecuted. He suffered anguish on the cross. God wasn't going to take him away from that, because it was God's plan that he died. And the result of dying on the cross gave each and every one of us the opportunity for salvation. The Psalms are written from a Jewish point of view, and the blessing of Israel, together with her afflictions, sorrows, and chastening, is most prominent in the book. So we see the children of Israel, and we could reflect upon their lives as we read their history. They sinned, they turned their backs on God, God punished them. They suffered many things. God chastened them for them. And when they repented, God welcomed them back, as he will do with sinners today. When we sin and fall short of God's laws, and that sin separates us, and when we truly repent from those things, God's going to welcome you back. He is going to take you back. And that's awesome that he does for you and I. The book of Psalms provides words of encouragement and direction. It is a book of poetry inspired by God. It meets the deepest need of the human heart. The Lord is near the brokenhearted. Psalms 34 and 18. Psalms application is simple. The exhortation to praise the Lord should lead to the reader saying or singing praise to the Lord. We are so blessed as his children. We are so privileged to be his children that he provides all our needs. Some may think, well, he doesn't provide this for me. He doesn't provide that. But he provides everything that we need to survive. And he knows what's good for you and I. So we should always be praising the Lord. Meditate on God's word. The longest psalm is 119. It speaks of the psalmist's love for God's word and all that it is capable of doing. We are so privileged to have God's word. When Paul had written to the saints at Rome, he reminded them that the children of Israel had the oracles of God. They had God's word. God was with them. But they fell short. They didn't put God first. And when we read the Psalms, we should realize that we should have a love for the word of God. In the Bible, he communicates to each and every one of us. And when I study the Bible, if I studied something 6-7 months ago when I reread and study that again, I pick up something else out of that. So as far as I'm concerned, I will be continually being a student of the Bible. And it doesn't matter how long you've been a Christian, from a babe in Christ to someone who is mature in the faith, you will always find something in God's word. So meditate on God's word. Psalms 19 contrasts God's voice through creation with his written instruction in Psalms 1, in verses 7 and 8. In Psalms 1, the introduction to Psalms tells us to meditate upon God's word. So our lives will be fruitful and whatever we do prospers. So when you read Psalms 1, it tells us to meditate on his word. And after reading Psalms 1, the reader should accept it as their responsibility to meditate upon the rest of the book. If so, they will be blessed. And when you read Psalms, you could see the greatness and the magnitude of God's glory and greatness. And we should be in awe of that. Life is hard, but God is good. All of God's saints throughout the ages have dealt with difficulties to varying degrees. The saints who composed the Psalms were no exception. They had enemies. They felt forgotten and anxious, dealt with lies and deceptions. Does that kind of remind you what our society that we live in does to us as Christians? Psalms 12, verses 1 through 4, the sense that God has abandoned them. There is no reason to stop praising. God is a deliverer, and he would be faithful. It is always right to praise him. And as Christians, that should be on the forefront of our minds, to worship God, praise him, honor him, and give him the glory. Worship God and pray. Many psalms call God's people to worship. Among them are Psalms 29. Ascribe to the Lord the glory due his name. Worship the Lord in the splendor of his holiness. The following psalms also worship God. Psalms 103, 95 through 100, 134, 135, and Psalms 146 through 150. So there are a lot of psalms that worship and honor God. Prayer is the explicit theme of Psalm 61. God, hear my cry. Pay attention to my prayer. In Psalms 51, be gracious to me, God, according to your faithful love. And God's going to take care of each and every one of us. And we have to trust in him. We have to listen to him. We have to obey him. Psalms can function as a handbook to prayer for us. Picking up a Bible, opening it to Psalms, read aloud slowly, setting your heart on God, will aid your prayer life immensely. Listen to the psalmists who prayed and honored God. Add that to your prayer repertoire. We can bring all our feelings to God, no matter how negative or complaining they may be. We can rest assured that he will hear and understand. The psalmist teaches us the most profound prayer of all is a cry for help as we find ourselves overwhelmed by the problems of life. Go to God in prayer. Communicate to your Heavenly Father. And he will listen and understand you. There's a Messiah coming. This theme is throughout many of the Psalms. They are messianic in nature. And Psalms 22 offers a glimpse of Jesus on the cross. They pierced my hands and my feet. Verse 16 of Psalms 22. And Psalms 2, 24, and 72 are, among others, all point to the future king and the kingdom. God wrote prehistory into the Psalms. We realize that God planned for Jesus to enter history at a certain time and wrote about it hundreds of years before it happened. He inspired the writers of Psalms to talk about the Messiah. And it's in God's time and God's plan that humanity, you and I, will have salvation. That's all I had on the book of Psalms. We covered many of the Psalms, not all of them. It would take us a good time to cover each and every one of them, because they have so much meaning to us as Christians on how we praise, how we glorify God, how we honor him. Are there anybody want to add anything to our lesson this evening? Any comments or questions?
Just another job. Well done. Thank you, Lenny.
You're welcome, Eileen. I appreciate that.
Yes, thank you, Lenny.
Welcome, Carolyn.
Really appreciate all your studying.
Well, thank you. It makes you dig in more and more into the Word and understand that there's so much more that you don't understand, and you have to keep on applying yourselves.